Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise, and I think I just discovered that I have had this microphone facing the wrong way this entire time. I detached the microphone from its stand and I'm holding it right now because I'm laying in bed recording this because it is nighttime and I just didn't feel like sitting at my desk at 10 p.m. And I was testing the mic as I always do before I start recording. I will talk into it, make sure everything sounds good, have my headphones on, you know, just making sure everything sounds okay. And I was doing that, and then I started like talking into it from different angles. Usually, when I'm sitting at my desk, I have it in its stand and it is angled like to the side of my mouth, but not right up against my mouth. It's kind of like off to the side, and I'm kind of talking into the top of it because I feel like I Googled how you're supposed to talk into a microphone for a podcast because when I was doing it at first, it wasn't sounding right. And I started doing that and I was like, oh, this works. This is good. But just now I started talking into like the very front of it. And then I compared it to talking into the top of it and talking into the back and they all sound different. Maybe I am really dumb. I'm not dumb. That's mean. I'm not trying to be mean to myself right now. Let's not. I'm just not a professional at microphones, I guess. I didn't know that how drastic the difference would be when you're talking into all of those different sides. And I just tested it for the first time right now. And oh my God. So I'm hoping that this sounds okay. Because I think I'm going to hold it like this for the rest of the time. And I'm talking into the front of it. Let me listen again really quick. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. I just listened back and it sounds good. So whatever. I'm just going to hold it like this. This is so weird. I'm learning new things every time I record an episode, which honestly is nice. And it makes it fun. I'm not an expert on podcasting. I'm learning new things as I go, and I'm learning how to be better as I go, and I feel like that is part of the journey, and it's fun. I can't expect myself to be an expert at the very start. I honestly don't think I can expect myself to be an expert at all. It's just for fun, and I'm learning as I go, and that's okay. Anyway, how are y'all doing today? Sorry, I didn't even give you time to answer. That was so rude of me. If you answered, thank you, whether it was in your head or out loud, thank you for sharing that. I am doing pretty well. As I said, I'm recording this at night. I don't typically record episodes at night. I usually try not to do a lot of work at night because nighttime is usually my relaxed time, but I have a very busy week this week and a lot of things I need to get done. I need to keep on schedule. And I sometimes, and by sometimes I mean often, am not serious enough with myself. And I just don't take myself seriously when I give myself timelines for things. Even if, like, if it's a timeline that I'm only giving myself and it's not set by somebody else, I don't take it seriously, which is not good. I need to be able to tell myself I'm going to do something at a certain time and stick by it and not push it off because, oh, I technically could do it another time. No, if I say that I'm going to do it now, I'm going to do it now because I know that I set that time for myself for a reason. And I set that so that the rest of my week would be easier for myself. Like I don't want to, when you push everything to the last minute is when it gets hard. So that's why I'm recording at night in an effort to stay on the schedule that I set for myself. And I know that I'm going to be happy that I did this. So this is just me taking a baby step towards taking myself more seriously. There's nothing else really that I have to say. I'm going to see Taylor Swift in less than 2 weeks, which is, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to see Taylor. I am seeing Taylor Swift at MetLife the first and the third night I'm going. I have never seen Taylor Swift in concert before, ever. I've loved Taylor Swift since her debut album. And she has helped me through some of the hardest times of my life. And I get to see her for the first time in less than 2 weeks. And it just feels very surreal to me. So even saying that out loud just doesn't seem real. So that's that. I think that's all I got. I don't know. Let's just get into today's episode. I wanted to make this in honor of the spring season. I know it's been spring for kind of a minute now, but better late than never. If there's one thing I like to talk about, it's cleaning. It's funny. I like making videos about cleaning and I love how things feel when they are clean. But the act of cleaning Sometimes I like it. It depends on what it is. The act of cleaning is not my favorite. I mean, it depends on what mood I'm in. It depends on what it is, but sometimes I really gotta force myself to do it. I bribe myself to clean with YouTube videos and podcasts. I will always have something playing in the background when I'm cleaning. I cannot have silence when I'm cleaning. It's just not, I can't. But today's episode is going to be all about organization, kind of spring cleaning vibes. And I wanted to give you my personal rules for organization. These are specifically geared towards organizing my home and my stuff, like my belongings. I live in a very small apartment. I'm not entirely sure the exact square footage of my apartment because I was never actually given the square footage. I measured myself, but I don't know how well I did. I think it's around 400 square feet, maybe give or take, but it's a very small space and I need to keep it organized. I have a lot of things, so organization and storage are key for me for fitting all of my stuff into my apartment, but also not having things feel cluttered, which I will admit is still a work in progress every day. Somehow, even when I clean everything that I feel like I could possibly clean, things end up getting out of whack again, like a few days later, and then I have to do it all over again. So that's definitely a work in progress. But these are my rules, my general rules for a perfect world of how I like to keep my things organized. These are things that I've been told, things that I've learned through my own experience of moving out in my own place and having a lot of stuff now. I mean, when you move out on your own for the first time, nobody told me how much shit I had to get because I didn't realize how many things I used in my daily life when I lived at my parents' house that they just had at the house. When you move into your own place, you have to buy all that shit. Like, it doesn't just come with it. So I've acquired a lot of things naturally since I've lived out of my parents' house now for a couple of years. And I have learned a thing or two about organizing and storage and maximizing my space. And I honestly see it as a fun challenge. I really like having a small space because I think small space organization is so much fun. I love watching videos about small space organization. It feels like a challenge, but a fun one. And I'm up for that challenge. I just think it's fun. I have to be a little bit more creative sometimes with my organization solutions, but again, I feel like that makes it a little bit more fun. And then when I figure something out and it works, I'm happy and I'm proud of it. So I love storage and organization. I love storage and organization things. I love when things are organized. I don't know many feelings that I love more than when all of my shit feels like it's together and everything feels like it's organized and there's not clutter. And I swear, I think so clearly when my space is organized. My room is my sanctuary. My apartment, my space, my living space is my sanctuary. I have been saying my room is my sanctuary since I lived at my parents' house because my living space affects me so much mentally. And I know that that's not just me. I know that a lot of people feel that way. If I am in a cluttered living space and there's just shit everywhere, I'm honestly looking at my desk right now because I was filming today and I was sitting at my desk a lot. So I have things everywhere. I just didn't get around to putting them away. And I look at my desk and it just makes me anxious. It makes me not even want to go over there and sit down and be productive or do anything because there's stuff there and I need to put the stuff away before I can sit at my desk and have a clear mind. A cluttered space makes for a cluttered mind for me. My living space, the physical space around me, affects me mentally so much. So that's why organization is so important to me. And when you live in a small space, you could, like I said, feel like you have everything organized. And even when you don't live in a small space, this happens to everyone all the time. You can feel like you have everything organized, and then it's like 2 days later, and you have to pick out an outfit for something, and all of a sudden it looks like a tornado blew through your space. So it's frustrating. It feels like it's always a work in progress, and it's never something that I feel like I'm going to be perfect at, but I enjoy it. And I love it when things are organized. It makes me feel so at peace and it makes me feel like I can be more productive and it just puts me in a generally better headspace. So, with all of that being said, sorry I've been rambling. I don't know why I'm apologizing. This is my podcast. That's like the point. But let's get into it with my rules for organization. Rule number one. This may be the most important. Actually, I think this is the most important rule in my book. And that's why it's rule number one. Everything must have a place. I feel like that is step one for organization in general. Everything needs to have a place. Before you can organize things, you need to know where they belong. Because the act of organizing is essentially putting your things, first of all, into places that they make sense. And second of all, putting things back into those places when they get disorganized. So everything has to have a place. And if it doesn't have a place, you either need to find a place for it or you don't need it. If you can't find a place for something or the place that it should go in doesn't have space, something has to go. If you have stuff and you don't have a place for that stuff, it's just going to end up floating around your floor or a couch or a table or a desk, and it's just going to keep getting moved from place to place because it doesn't have a home. And that's how clutter builds. Clutter happens when you have a lot of things that don't have a place. Either you don't have room for them or they don't have a purpose at all. That's when problems arise. So everything, in order to have a truly organized space, everything that you own needs to have a place. And also, taking it one step further, those places need to make sense for you. You want to place things, obviously, in areas that they're going to be the most used, duh. But everything, at the end of the day, needs to have a place. If it doesn't have a place and you can't make it one, you're going to need to get rid of it. Well, you don't need to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to listen to me. But that's just kind of a sign that you may not need it, because everything that is actually serving a purpose for you and is impacting your life in a positive way is going to have a place. Rule number two, store things inside of other things, or in other words, condense. When you do this, you're not taking up any additional area. You're kind of utilizing some dead space that you may have if you have, for example, a suitcase. This is a great example for this because I store all of my suitcases and travel things inside of other suitcases. It's like nesting. So my big checked bag is, you know, a thing. And then I have my carry-on inside of that. And then inside of that one, I have my personal item. And I have, inside of my personal item, I have my neck pillow and my eye masks and shit like that. So all of those things, instead of having each individual item taking up its own area on the floor or wherever it would be stored, they're all under my bed, because where the fuck else am I going to put all of those big bulky things in my little apartment? It's under your bed storage. That's another thing, storing things inside of other things. I count my bed as that too. Technically it's not inside of my bed, but it's under it, so same thing. I'm not taking up any additional area for storing things because my bed is already here and it's already taking up the area that it is on my floor. So I have space underneath my bed that is like dead space because there's nothing there. So according to rule number two, I need to store things there. But then even within that, I can store things inside of things. Condensing is a really great way to store more things but not take up any additional space, which is very important, especially in small spaces, but just in general for organizing. This brings me to rule number three, use your vertical space. Use your vertical space. I have said that phrase so many times on my YouTube channel when I have talked about how I organize my apartment. Using your vertical space is so key. This means walls, doors. I just recently bought these hangers from Amazon, and instead of having hangers for each individual tank top, for example, I bought one hanger and it has like rungs underneath so I can fit five tank tops on one hanger instead of having five separate hangers one for each tank top. And that saved me. I got two of them. So it saved me 10 hangers. Not only does that free up space for other things, but it also frees up space in my closet and I can move things around a little bit easier because there's not 10 extra hangers taking up space on my clothing rack. Seriously, though, those hangers are game changers. I think I'm going to order more because I have somehow even more tank tops that I can store. And I also have like 4 white shirts. And instead of having each of them on their own hanger, I can literally just hang all of the same thing on one of these hangers that are like a little bit longer and they have space for 5 things. I have duplicates of basic things because I don't know, I just do. So they all fit differently and they serve different purposes. But I feel like that could be an easy way to store them because you know that what they all are. They're all the same thing, just in their different fits. So they're in a place that they make sense, but they're also part of a space-saving solution, which frees up space for more things. If you want more things, if you don't, which I really don't need any more things, then it'll just make it easier for me to look through my closet. I don't have to really push too hard because there won't be as many hangers cluttering the racks. But that's just one example that I implemented recently that I'm obsessed with. And I'm trying to scream it from the rooftops because if you don't have something like that, you should. It is a game changer. But back to my other vertical space things, walls. Having shelves and things like that built onto your walls, storage cabinets and whatever, pantries on the walls, that is all using vertical space. I also am a big utilizer of space on my doors. On the backs of my closet doors, I have racks for bags. I have purse hooks lining both doors on one side of my closet and then on the other side. I have a hook for my tote bag. So it's just so easy to use that space. And sometimes you don't think of doing that, but you can utilize all of the vertical space, honestly, that you have, because most of my space in my apartment, I feel like, is vertical space just because the square footage is not a lot. By utilizing my walls and my doors and other space-saving vertical solutions, I am utilizing my space in a much more efficient way than if I didn't do those things. You know what I mean? Rule number 4 is label things when applicable. This seems obvious, I know, but this can really help you identify the exact contents of a container. I have labels on most of my drawers in my closet. I have Alex drawers and I have labels on those. I have bins next to my desk and I have labels on those of exactly what is in each bin. Because if I didn't do that and I just had random shit in all of my containers, it would take me so much longer to find things, first of all. Second of all, labeling things, labeling a container or a drawer or something that something's in, it helps to establish a home for those things. And this is going back to rule number 1, everything must have a place. So when you're labeling things, you're clearly identifying and establishing a place for those things, which is a win-win. Also, it's fun and it can be cute. I have a little label maker, one of the embossed ones that I got off of Amazon, and I love using that thing. The labels are so cute, and I put it on things in my kitchen cabinets, in my pantry. I have little like pop containers, airtight containers that I put stuff in. So I put those labels on all of those things. It's fun. It's a little activity. It's cute. And it obviously serves the purpose of identifying what is in there, just keeping everything orderly. Charlie is on my nightstand right now next to my bed and she's drinking water from her glass. Let's see if we can get a word from her over there. Ready? That's Charlie, if you could hear that. All right, rule number 5. You should be consistently reevaluating your belongings and the purpose they are serving in your life or lack thereof. This is something that I really should start doing like quarterly at the very least, once a quarter of the year, every 3 months. Take a hard look at my belongings and evaluate what purpose they're serving in my life. Are they serving a purpose? What is that purpose? If they aren't serving a purpose, then it's probably time to let go of them. And going off of this, it's important to be able to detach emotions from things. And I'm saying this mostly to myself because I, for some reason, become super attached. I'm very nostalgic and I attach emotions onto inanimate objects. And then it makes it harder for me to part with them when they're no longer serving me or they no longer have a purpose or a place in my present life. So that's something I really need to work on, is being able to detach my emotions from things and simply thank them for being a part of my life at one point and be able to let them go. That is something that Marie Kondo talks about in her book. What is that book called? The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, I believe it's called. I'm just spitballing that off the top of my head. I have the book, but not in front of me. But Marie Kondo is an organizing wizard. She has the KonMari method, and I've talked about that in YouTube videos before. I've cleaned my closet back at my parents' house with that method, and she wrote a whole book about it. So it's honestly a great book. I would highly recommend you check it out if you are interested in learning more about this or just getting different ideas of how you can declutter and organize your things in your life. But that's such a big thing for me, is just being able to detach my emotions from stuff so that I can just get rid of things. Like, it's so difficult for me to just simply get rid of stuff, which is why I end up with so much stuff. And that's what also leads to clutter, because I have so much stuff that there's no space for new things to take up that place. I have to get rid of things in order to make room for new things, obviously. But when I'm attaching some sentimental value to a thing, or in the case of clothes, I will look at a piece of clothing and I'm like, okay, I haven't worn this in the last year and a half. Am I realistically going to wear this anytime ever again? Or can I part with this and donate it to somebody else who would enjoy it? And there will literally be times I'll look at it and I'm like, okay, well, I know I haven't worn it in a year, but I could totally see it with this outfit. I start coming up with outfits on the spot, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, I might as well just keep it, because if I need it, then it'll be there. And then if I get rid of it and I end up needing it, then I'll be like, damn, I wish I kept that. And I'm not gonna lie, that does happen kind of a lot. I will think about something like 6 months after I've gotten rid of it and be like, oh my God, that would be perfect right now. And then I'm like, I don't have it anymore. But I feel like I can't base my decisions off of what I might do some random specific time in the future. If I haven't touched something in a year, or I forgot that it was even in my closet, I'm probably not gonna miss it. And if I think of something that I could have used it for months after I got rid of it, it's not that deep. I'll get over it. I'll move on. I'll figure something else out. It's better that it's not taking up space in my closet or wherever it is anymore. And it's hopefully in the possession of somebody who will love and appreciate it the way that it deserves to be. That's the way that I need to look at things. And if I look at things that way, specifically if I'm talking about an item that can be reused by somebody else, like if it's something sentimental, like, I don't know, a card or some random papers from something, obviously nobody else is going to find use in those things. That's just a matter of throwing them away. And I feel like that's when it's harder for me, because I feel bad throwing things away and I feel sad throwing things away, even if I literally don't need them. And if I've already appreciated them, you know, like, I can't hold on to some random thing that I got 15 years ago and like hold on to it till I'm 85. That just doesn't make sense. But it's hard. But that's where I need to detach emotions from stuff, because at the end of the day, like, I have the memories in my brain and in my heart, not in these inanimate physical objects, you know? But I would say reevaluate your belongings and their purpose every quarter, at the very least, because that way you can kind of chip away at it and you won't feel like you have to do some big, huge, mass cleaning. You know, if you don't clean something for like 5 years and then you revisit it after 5 years of things accumulating and things getting out of hand, it's going to feel like such a bigger undertaking than if you do it little by little by reevaluating things every few months. It avoids the buildup of clutter or of other things that you're going to have to deal with at some point. You're going to have to deal with it at some point, and it's just going to make it harder. So that's kind of my thinking on that. Those are my five main rules. But there's other things that I wanted to mention that aren't necessarily rules, but just things that I like to follow when I'm organizing stuff. So specifically when I'm cleaning, I do this with pretty much anything, but specifically clothing and laundry. When I do all my laundry, I usually do all my laundry at once. So it's like 4 or 5 loads of stuff, and I have lights and darks and towels and sheets and all of that just like in a big pile waiting to be folded. And looking at that big pile, I'm like, holy fuck, that's so much stuff. How am I supposed to like figure out where all the stuff goes? First of all, everything already has a place, so that's not even a problem, but it's overwhelming when there's so much stuff that I have to sort through. What I like to do and what I recommend doing is put everything in piles. Literally don't even think about it past that. I will sit in front of my big mound of laundry in my basket. I'll pick each thing out and I will put it in a pile. So my piles usually consist of things that are going to go in my closet and things that are going to go in my dresser. Those are two separate piles. As I'm going through my clothing, I will pick everything out. If it goes in the closet, one pile. If it goes in the dresser, another pile. I don't even think about it past that. I just categorize each thing and then I tackle each individual pile from there. And already it's so much easier. When you look at a big mound of stuff, it feels overwhelming. But when you break it down into smaller parts and then you look at it again, it's obviously smaller. It's less to deal with. It's less to think about. So I'm like, oh, that's nothing. That is easy. I can do this. So that's what I like to do when I'm doing laundry. I do that when I'm putting other things away too. For another example, I had like 5 bags that all ended up hanging on the back of my chair on my dining table just because I would wear them out or I would do something with them and I would just kind of hang them there and I never unloaded them or put them away. So I went through all 5 of them. I just took all of the contents out of all of them, put it all in one pile, and then I went through that pile and I separated it into smaller piles of where each category of things belongs. So I have a bunch of stuff that I put in my bedside table in one of the drawers, things that I like to take with me when I'm going out of the house, essentially. So everything that is meant to go back in that drawer, I put in one pile. And then things that, like jewelry or sunglasses or things like that, those go in my closet. So I put those in another pile because then I can just pick up the whole pile, take it to its designated place, put it all away at once, and move on. And it's just so much easier. And again, this goes back to rule number one. Everything goes back to rule number one, that everything must have a place. Notice how I'm not saying, oh, I put things in their piles and then I take them to a place and I'm like, wait, there's no place for this. No, that's not how it works. If I'm emptying something and I know that I don't have a place for it or it just belongs in the trash, I put it in the trash or I otherwise discard it accordingly. It's automatic once you have come up with that system for yourself, and it's going to look different for everybody, but the important thing is just having a system in place. The system can be as simple as this drawer is for this kind of stuff, this rack is for this kind of stuff, and you know that, and then you become accustomed to putting your things back that way. It's second nature. You don't have to think about it. It's easy. And it takes the guesswork out of everything. It takes the guesswork out of cleaning and organizing. And when things are out of place, you look at them and you're like, oh, I know where this goes. I can just grab that really quick and put it back where it belongs. And then you've just cleaned something up and you're reducing clutter. And it literally took no seconds and no brain power. Everything has to have a place. It's so important. The golden rule. You know what? Yeah, I'm coining that right now. The golden rule of organization is that everything must have a place. Everything goes back to that and everything flows from that. I was listening to Emma Chamberlain's podcast, Anything Goes, and she did an episode. Actually, she's doing a series about minimalism, but one of the parts of the series was about minimalism in your home and your belongings and things like that. And honestly, the idea of living more like a minimalist is so appealing to me because there's less opportunity for clutter. When you don't have that many things to begin with, and you don't have a million different versions of the same thing, there's less of a chance that your space is going to be cluttered because you just don't have as much stuff. And after I listened to that episode, it made me want to go through everything I own and just get rid of stuff, because I know how good it feels to unload things that are no longer serving me. Ugh, it's hard though, because I have things for specific purposes, and I feel like they serve their purpose and they're beneficial for my life. But then I'm like, I guess I don't technically need it, but I'm like, but it makes my life more convenient and easier. So I go back and forth. I definitely by no means am a minimalist. I'm also not a maximalist though. I find myself somewhere in the middle, and I think that most people probably find themselves somewhere in the middle. I feel like I've been putting way more of a conscious effort into being more selective about things that I'm buying and acquiring and bringing into my space, because I know in the back of my mind that I just hate clutter so much, and I love having an organized space, and I know how good I feel mentally, physically, emotionally when my space is organized and I have my shit together. So I feel like I have been actually way more cognizant of that, but I slip up sometimes. I'm human. I'm trying to make those slip-ups more few and far between so I don't have to constantly feel like I need to get rid of everything I own. I go through phases like that probably every month, at least once a month. I'm like, oh my god, I want to go through everything I own. And I feel like times like that are honestly the best time for me to go ahead and do rule number 5 and reevaluate my belongings, because I'm in a cutthroat mood at that point. And you almost have to be when you are decluttering. As I said, you have to detach your emotions from things. And when I'm in a mood where I'm like, I need to get rid of everything I own and I don't want any of this stuff, I am way more able to be cutthroat with my decisions. I'm like, does this serve me? Yes or no? Plain and simple, black and white, no gray area. Yes or no? If no, get rid of it. Period. Don't look back, onto the next thing. When I am in moods like that, I just try to take advantage of them and go through my stuff. Sometimes it'll happen in the middle of the night. Actually, I feel like a majority of the time it happens in the middle of the night. I sometimes get some of my best ideas in the middle of the night also, which is interesting. But it'll be like 11, 12, 1, and I'm like, oh my god, I just need to get rid of everything that I own. And obviously, I'm not going to get rid of everything I own. But I just have a fire lit under my ass at the randomest of times. But I know myself, and I know that I need to run with it when I do, because those are my best opportunities to really clear some things out. And that's really important for me, for my organizational system and my end goal. I think another thing that's really important for organization, maybe a rule I should add, maybe rule number 6, is to have an end goal or an ideal scenario that you are striving for, or that you have in the back of your mind for how you want your setup to be. Picture your perfectly organized space. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you feel when you're in that space? Do you feel happy? Do you feel productive? Do you feel lighter? I feel like keeping that vision in the back of my mind is so helpful, because it keeps me centered on what my goal is. Sometimes when I'm cleaning, I'm like, what am I doing this for? Like, do I really need to do this right now? But if I think to my goal and I remember my motivation for doing it and that this is what I'm striving for, it kind of re-motivates me to do it, even if it's not that fun. I mean, I feel like most of the time it's not. But again, as I said, I motivate myself by turning on a podcast or turning on a YouTube video or a show, sometimes music. Whatever you got to do to get yourself up and at it, do it, because you're going to feel so good when you've made progress. And you guys all know that. I don't need to tell you that. Everyone has experienced that feeling of going from like a super messy room or space, and you spend a lot of time cleaning it, and by the end of it, you just feel like you can breathe easier and you can relax. And it is one of the greatest feelings on the planet. It rivals really only the feeling of getting into bed with freshly clean sheets and freshly shaved legs. Oh my God. Those are two of the best feelings of life, I think. I'm telling you, once I get into talking about this, I can just run with it. I don't know. I love it. I love organization. I love talking about it. I don't all the time love doing it. And I mean, my desk and other parts of my apartment right now reflect that I need to do it, and I've been putting it off. It's something that's really easy to put off when you have other things going on that are more pressing. Because, I mean, really, organization is something you can do in your downtime, or it's not like it's a deadline or it's something super pressing, unless it's gotten to the point where it's so bad that you can't even think in your own space, because that's going to start interfering with you actually getting the things that you need to get done. But then I also need to remind myself how much of an impact it makes on my mental health and how good it makes me feel and how much it facilitates my productivity and my overall mood when my space is orderly. And that's all benefiting me mentally. And I need to take that seriously and take my mental health or my mental state and my mood and all of those things. I need to take those seriously, because if I don't have that, if I'm not in a good headspace. Yes, Charlie, I know. I know. If I'm not in a good headspace, that affects the rest of my life. Charlie just jumped up on my bed. I think this is her telling me that it's bedtime. She is so freaking cute. She always does this when it's time for bed. Whether I'm in bed or not, she will get in bed and she'll kind of just meow until I join her. She's, oh God, she makes my world go round. All right, I guess that's my sign that I should go. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully, this was a little inspiration, pep talk, even for organizing. Maybe you listened to this while you were organizing. That would be awesome. And I would love that so much. If you did do that, let me know. And let me know how you feel now that you have organized your stuff. Because I bet you feel great, don't you? And if you haven't organized in a little bit, maybe this is your sign to do it. Just take a little time. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. Organize something. You'll probably feel better. Actually, I can guarantee you'll feel better. All right. I love y'all so much. Thank you for listening to another episode. Next episode is my 20th. My God. How have I already done 20 episodes? That seems like a lot and not a lot at all at the same time. But I will be doing a Q&A episode next week, because I made it a thing that I wanted to do every 10 episodes. I do a Dear Diary, which essentially is just a Q&A, and I have y'all write in some questions or things you want me to talk about, topics, advice, questions, anything like that. So I'm going to post a question sticker probably tomorrow or the next day, if you're listening to this the day that it drops, which is Tuesday. I'm going to post that on the podcast Instagram account, which is Digital Diary Pod. So if you want to be a part of that or any future contributions, you can follow the podcast Instagram. That's where I post everything related to the podcast. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye.